all must begin in prayer. All right, James chapter 1. Now, if you're here this morning, we looked at what does the Bible say about sickness. And as I told you, there's a lot of difference among even those who are born-again Christians as to how a believer ought to react to sickness. Some say, and there's a great many that believe this, I'm not questioning their spirituality, I do question their interpretation of Scripture. They seem to give the idea that if you are sick in body, it's because of a direct failure on your part, and that you miss God's will somehow, because God's will is never that His children ought to be sick. That comes from the prosperity, health, and wealth gospel to a great degree. Again, I'm not impugning these people or throwing mud on their character. I'm saying this is what they believe, and they sincerely believe this at times, that if you're sick because you're out of God's will. They don't believe a person in God's will would be sick, and they don't believe that God ever intended for anyone to be sick. And in that point, I'll say they're right. It was the original intention of God, back before sin entered, that we live in a perfect, unbroken fellowship with Him, and we live forever. When God made man from the dust of the ground, His intention was not that man would go back to that same dust. But sin came, and the wages of sin is death. So sickness did come. And I think this is probably one of the most applicable sermons in the life of our church as it is right now. Look around and you know of somebody that's out because they're sick tonight. And some of you are back after very long sicknesses. Some of you are still coming out of it. And I thank the Lord you're back. I'm not going to preach this morning's message all over again. But quickly, I want to just run through what we looked at this morning. Bible reasons for sickness, and then tonight's message is going to concern itself with how are we then to respond to sickness, whether it be our own sickness or the sickness of a loved one, whatever the situation may be. And we'll come to James in just a moment. But quickly, here are some Bible reasons for why sickness has come. Number one, because we live in a fallen, sin-cursed world. Go back to pre-Genesis chapter 3. You don't read about death. You don't read about sickness or separation or sorrow. You don't read about any tears in the first two chapters of Genesis. All that God saw was very good. And God could not have looked upon suffering and sickness and death and said, it is good. So what He saw after those creative days, He said was very good. But it's after that things start to fall apart. So Adam and Eve came, you know the picture. Didn't I say I'm not going to preach this morning's sermon again? I'm really going to try. And so we see this is a fallen creation, and sin came. So I said this morning that not only was the curse upon men, the curse was also upon nature itself, even the animal kingdom. Animals get sick. Wildlife, the trees get sick. You can have a blight, take the trees and the flowers and grass. The curse is upon the world. That's why the Lord died with a crown of thorns on His head. That curse. God pronounced a curse upon the earth, and He said, thorns and thistles will the earth bring forth. So our Savior died for the curse. And from head to toe, when they placed that crown of thorns on His head, He was saying, I'm dying for the results of man's sin. That's the first reason sin comes. Another reason of sin, some sickness is self-inflicted. Chastisement for sin can take the form of a physical infirmity. Hebrews 12. When we abuse our bodies, and our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, that can bring on a sickness. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Another reason for sickness is this. Satan can afflict the body, even of believers, if he's given that liberty of the Lord. The greatest example is Job. Remember old Job? Chapter 2, verse 7, it said that Satan smote him with boils. That was a physical impairment, a physical infirmity, and the devil did it. Another reason for sin, sickness rather, is that it can be preventative. Do you know sometimes when a believer is stricken with sickness, it's to keep something worse from coming upon them? It's hard to understand if you're the one who's in the sick bed. But 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul said that because he had been given such revelation from God, and because he had seen the third heaven, God gave him a thorn in the flesh, lest he should be exalted above measure. So in Paul's case, he had a physical infirmity so that he wouldn't get too, what's the expression in Tennessee? Wouldn't get too big for his Britches? Some of you northerners, I saw your mouth. You said slacks. You just don't have it. It's not he got too big for his slacks. You got to say it like we say it down south. He got too big for his britches. So in Paul's case, what are you going to do? Say Paul was out of God's will. And I mean, he must have been pretty close to the Lord. He just saw a vision of the third heaven. I'd say that must mean you're pretty good fellowship with the Lord. And yet God gave him a thorn in the flesh. I want you to write that passage down. Go back to it. Study it. It's in 2 Corinthians 12. So sometimes sickness can be preventative. Keep you humble. Sometimes sickness is preventative because it'll keep you from other evil activities. Sometimes the best thing God can do for a Christian is to put them in a situation where they can't do much with their body, because if they could, maybe they'd do something that wouldn't please the Lord, whatever the thing may be. So sickness can be preventative. And then finally, we looked this morning that sickness can give us a greater sense of empathy. Sickness can come on you, and God uses it so that you'll be better able to minister to those. If you've seen people who have been sick for a long time, and it's true here, you see people who've had to deal with long, chronic illnesses, you know what you almost find invariably in those folks? They have some of the very sweetest Christian spirits of anybody. Have you noticed that, folks? You go to the Brother Kaiser can testify to this. He goes to the nursing home now, and I've been to the nursing homes. You've been to the nursing homes. Some of those ladies and men there have just years in a sick bed, and yet they can have the sweetest spirit. Sickness can soften you, give you a soft heart. I just stopped before church Wednesday night at Kingston and saw a lady that I've told you all about many times. Her name is Esther. And Esther has probably what I would consider the worst case of rheumatoid arthritis I've ever seen. The lady is wearing braces on both of her hands to keep that illness from advancing, but on her left hand, her fingers are almost bent completely back onto her, the top of her hand. Lady, you and Ken know who I'm talking about, this dear lady. For 30 years, she worked with the Gideons placing Bibles. I said, do you have any idea how many Bibles you've helped to place in your years of working with the Gideons? And she said, I don't have any idea. Thousands and thousands and thousands. She got such a sweet spirit. Yet she lives with this terrible pain. I'm sure it must be every day. God give you a sense of empathy in a sick bed. Now those are some Bible reasons for sickness. Be careful when you see somebody in a sick bed. Be careful when you see someone who is infirmed. Be careful not to pass judgment on why they're there. John 9, we talked about that. That blind fellow, they said to the Lord, who sinned, him or his parents? Somebody must have done something real bad for him to be born blind. And the Lord said, no, that's not it. He's born blind because God wanted to do something in his life that would bring glory to God. Now, what should be our attitude to sickness? Here's the heart of it tonight. If you're in a sick bed, if you're troubled with something, if you're chronic and your illness and didn't seem to see any change in it, what is a Christian to do? Here's where I would like for you to turn to some of these scriptures. Are you in James chapter 1? First thing to do when sickness comes, either whether it's you or a loved one, number one, pray for wisdom to respond rightly to the sickness. James chapter 1, look at verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. When you find yourself in this situation or someone you love, your first reaction ought to be go to the Lord in prayer with it. Before you do anything else, wherever you are, drop to your knees, get in your prayer closet, however it is you pray, say, Lord, show me, give me wisdom to know how to respond to this thing. You can respond the right way, you can respond the wrong way. How many here have ever seen people get bitter and angry at God when sickness comes? I've seen it. They just get angry. The only thing to do with God, why would he put me through this? I've seen them leave church over it. I've seen folks quit church altogether because they did not respond properly to some sort of difficulty in their life, and they couldn't reconcile that with what they thought they knew about God. Pray for wisdom. Here's the next thing I ought to do. Ask God in faith for healing. I mean, you ought to pray for healing. I'm not going to say to you that you're supposed to just ride it through and deal with it. Pray for healing. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll see this, as I alluded to it just a moment ago. But when you are sick and when you are infirmed, you ought to ask God how to help you respond, and then pray that if it be God's will, you would be healed. I don't think anybody relishes being sick. I don't believe anybody just gets a real thrill out of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, this is the Apostle Paul's physical infirmity, and he asked to be healed. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse number 8, for this thing, and that thing is the thorn in the flesh, if you read that in the verse just prior, verse 7, for this thing, verse 8, I besought the Lord thrice. What did he pray about here, folks? That it might depart from me. Paul said, I asked the Lord to take this from me three separate times. So Paul did pray for healing. But God didn't choose to heal him. God had reasons for not healing Paul, at least not in Paul's time. And the reasons I've already given you are so that Paul wouldn't be exalted above measure. You see that in verse 7, that phrase, lest I should be exalted above measure. He says that in the first part of the verse, and then he closes that verse with the same expression. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul knew, here's the key tonight, folks, Paul knew why he had been given that thorn. You know how Paul knew it? Because God gave him wisdom on it. That's why I said the first thing you ought to do is to pray and ask God how to respond to your sickness. Paul knew why he had been given the thorn. Paul did not say, I can't for the life of me understand why I've been given this thorn. Doesn't the Lord know I could do much more for him if I didn't have to worry with this physical impairment, whatever it was? But Paul knew why it was given. Haven't you found that you can cope with things a little better if you at least understand the reason for it? And sometimes we don't understand the reason, not because God doesn't want to reveal it to us. We've never asked him to. James says, you have not because you ask not. Have you ever stopped and prayed and said, Lord, help me to understand why it is this thing's come upon me? Why have you allowed it? What's your purpose in this, Lord? I guess there was a phrase I heard as a child a lot, and I guess it stuck with me. And people would say, oh, you ought never, ever question God. Never question God. Well, I find that there are a lot of men in the Bible that question God. You know, it's not a disrespectful thing to question God if you truly want to know. Didn't his perfect son question him? Didn't his perfect son say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's all right to question the Lord. He knows if your heart is respectful, and I'm not saying question God and to say, I demand an answer of you, answer me now. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, Lord, help me understand why this thing is. Paul knew why he was suffering. So ask God in faith for your healing. Look at James chapter 5. I'm giving you verses now that teach that we ought to ask for healing. It's not wrong to ask God to heal you or to heal someone you love. It's not a selfish thing. It's not a fleshly thing. Paul prayed it be removed. But then in James 5, and this is the passage that we read every time we anoint someone with oil, and if you didn't know about it, we do practice that here if it is biblically done. We've prayed for some of you. I don't think it would upset her. I should probably ask for forgiveness than permission for forgiveness, but we prayed for Sister Getty a few years ago for our situation. And that woman, she told me that she knew when she left the room there, God had heard her. Isn't that? Gone. We believe in that. We believe in asking God to heal you. We believe it must be done biblically. We believe the order is clear. Let me say, sometimes we prayed for someone in a situation like that and we followed the Bible pattern and we've not seen healing that took place as quickly and as hers did. What are you going to do? Throw the thing out the window and say, well, it must not work then. You do what God's told you to do, and then you have to submit to His will in it. What you decide to do, Lord, is going to be the best. So, back to James chapter 5 here. What about this thing? Pray for wisdom, number one, then ask God in faith for healing. James 5 verse 14 says this. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. That verse is teaching that you should ask for healing. If you are sick, you ought to ask for healing. Now, we are not, and I've heard folks doing it this way, we cannot, no matter how severe your suffering is, I, as your pastor, cannot call you up and say, I think we ought to come and anoint you with oil and pray. This verse says you are to call for the elders of the church. We cannot enlist you for that. It's got to be something that you are asking for. And then something else I think is necessary. You see in verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Notice it's not the faith of the one being prayed for. It's the prayer of faith. Doesn't it make your, doesn't it get your dander up when you see things? I'm sure you've seen the specials on television. You've heard about all of it. Somebody will come through town with a healing campaign and somebody will pray to be healed and they're not healed. So whoever the guy is up front will say, well, brother, it's just because you didn't have enough faith. You weren't healed because you didn't believe. Well, the truth is, probably was the fellow doing the praying didn't have enough faith. Because when they let that man down on his bed, remember, they took the roof apart and let him down on that bed. The scripture said, when the Lord saw their faith, he healed that man. Don't say anything about the faith of the man on the bed. The scripture said, when he saw their faith. How many of you remember Jesus healed a lot of people in the New Testament who weren't even believers? Didn't it teach He healed all the multitude? Where was the power? It was in the prayer of faith. So, talking about sickness tonight. Number one, pray for wisdom on how to understand. Number two, ask God in faith to heal you. Then thirdly, this is important, this is practical. Use what resources you have. When you pray to God, ask for healing, use the resources, and how do you say this, the common sense God's given you. What do they call it? Horse sense? Yeah. Horse sense? Horse sense. You know what that is? That's just stable thinking. You'll get it. Amen. Now, here's what I mean by that, folks. Use your resources. I mean this. God can heal you through any means He desires. Number one, God can heal you through medicine. I would never say to you, medicine's of the devil. You ought to just pray and trust God. I never say that to you. Paul in 1 Timothy 5:23, I'm not going to get into the debate about what he meant here tonight, but Paul told Timothy, Paul prescribed medicine for an ailment that Timothy had with his stomach. Paul said, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and for thine often infirmities. You remember that?
Yeah.
Paul was saying, Timothy, go the medicinal route. Use something as medicine for that infirmity. So medicine can't be of the devil. I don't think that you ought to necessarily start there all the time. You ought to start with prayer. And if God chooses to heal through that, He can do it. Here's the next thing you ought to do. If you find that sickness has come and you've prayed in faith for healing, God hasn't chosen to do it directly, go see your physician. Go see a doctor. Turn to Matthew chapter 9. I'm giving you all these verses because I want you to know I'm not getting any kickback from the medical profession of the FDA. I'm showing you folks that going to physicians and using the prescribed medication, if you've prayed about it and God gave you wisdom to do that, then do it. Don't let somebody try to tell you it's a lack of faith if you go see a doctor. Jesus made this statement. It's kind of hard to argue with Him, although men do every day. Matthew chapter 9, look at verse 12. Matthew 9, 12. But when Jesus heard that, He said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Jesus said in that verse that if you're sick, you need a physician. I'm not twisting his words, am I? He said, if you're whole, you don't need a physician. He said, those that are sick need a physician. If physicians were sinful and if they meant a lack of faith, you think the Lord would have given such an endorsement to them? I'm not saying physicians are the answer to everything. I'm saying if God chooses to heal you that way, through the counsel of a man who has educated himself in that particular field, it's not a lack of faith on your part. Here's what I'm saying to you folks. God can use medicine, God can use doctors to heal you, listen to me, and God still gets the glory for all of it, however he chooses to do it. Sometimes we think that we're not giving God the glory, we're giving man the glory, or giving a little pill the glory. No, God can use any of those things, and ultimately healing comes from the Lord. I knew a lady that prayed over her Tylenol before she took it. Lord, help this Tylenol to do what it's supposed to do, and I think that's wonderful. Amen. Thank the Lord for the healing. Everybody still here tonight? Let's do a pulse check, all right? I'm saying when you find yourself in this situation, pray for wisdom, ask God for healing. As I said this morning, when you come to the Lord for healing, take advantage of the power there is in the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't talk much about the blood anymore, and it's sad we don't, because the life is in the blood. That's physical. It's also on a spiritual level. When's the last time you prayed for the power that's in the blood of Jesus Christ? Tragically, I think sometimes, and Baptists are bad about this, I can say that because I am one, we give the impression at times that the blood of Christ is something you only need for the Romans Road. And you only need to talk about the blood of Christ for the moment you're saved, and then you kind of forget it the rest of your Christian life. Nothing can be further from the truth. I need the same blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse me daily as I did to forgive me of my sin when I trusted Him as my Savior. There's power. There is power. Immense power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you think as they took that blood that night and put it over the doorpost and the that night in Egypt when the death angel went by and the blood was applied to the door and the Lord said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. Don't you know they were thankful for that blood? Yes, they were. When you pray to ask God for healing, you pray in faith believing and understand there's great power in the ministry of the blood of Christ. Now, these last two things here, they're going to be the hardest of my prescription tonight. The last two things talking about sickness is this. Praise God and give thanks even in the midst of your sickness. Before your healing comes, praise God and thank God for whatever He's chosen to allow to come into your life. I want to give you an example, two examples. Find Job chapter 13. And if you can't turn to these, write the reference down, but I'm going to read them to you. I'm not going to quote them. I'm going to read them. I don't want to miss anything. I want you to see the power in the Scripture. In Job chapter 13, here's a man who has suffered in his soul, and he suffered in his spirit, and he suffered in his flesh. There he sits on that ash heap, scraping the boils and the corruption that came forth from those boils, that physical infirmity. His children had all died in a day, and his wife had said to him, curse God and die. And all this come upon Job in a matter of less than 12 hours. And in the midst of all of his suffering, right in the middle of it, he says in chapter 13, verse 15, Job speaking here, in the midst of the suffering, Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Isn't that quite a statement? Though, even if God chooses to kill me in this thing, I'm still going to trust him. And we read the book of Job, we have the advantage to know how the book ends, don't we? We know Job's not going to die. We know Job's going to get back more than he lost. But Job didn't know that at that particular time. When Job made that statement, he didn't know what the Lord may yet have for him. And what he said was, God, it seems like you're killing me here. I've lost it all, and my flesh is deteriorating right in front of me. And this may be the end for me, Lord. But though the Lord slay me, though he kills me, I'm still going to trust him. I read things like that and I can understand why God said about Job, there's not a man like him in all the earth. Quite a man. He didn't know what we know about his situation. Remember that when you read these Bible accounts, remember that they didn't know how their story was going to turn out. You do. You know it. They didn't know it. I'll tell you something else. You don't know how your story is going to turn out either. Now God knows. We don't. We're going to trust him. And then this passage you could probably quote from memory. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Let's say God hasn't chosen to heal you. Let's say you've been sick 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 weeks at a time. Doesn't seem to be getting any better. Maybe it's even getting worse. And you've gone to God and you've prayed by faith and you've used the resources that you can use and done all this. What must you do? Just keep praising his name and keep thanking him for who he is, knowing that he is worthy of our praise regardless of our circumstance. My condition does not determine God's worth. Everybody, we agree with that. My current status, my health status, your health status, whatever you may be going through, that doesn't determine what God is worth in the matter of praising him. And he's still worth our praise. So praise God, give thanks, right in the midst of your infirmity. So I don't feel like it. Well, thankfully you're not commanded to feel like it. We're not told to feel thankful. We're told just to give thanks. It's an act of your will, not of your ability. You can give thanks to God in the midst of sickness. You can do it. The question is, will you do it? You know, sometimes giving thanks can be sort of a remedy in itself. Have you noticed that? As you begin to give thanks, and as you begin to praise the Lord, you ever felt the ministry of the Holy Spirit in you is giving you a measure of joy? And through that, you feel strength, and you see the Lord coming through. Your thanksgiving has triggered something within you. I'm not talking about some magical, mystical thing. I'm saying when we praise Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit within us responds to that. Because Jesus himself said that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will not speak of himself, but he'll speak of me. Do you remember what it was happened in Elizabeth's belly? She was carrying old John the Baptist in there. Remember that? Now, we've went through six kids, or I guess six. I've never had anything like that happen. Several times, you know, you ladies, Jessica said, "I think he's kicking or she's kicking." But John the Baptist did something. I mean, he leapt with joy. Little baby in there. What caused him inside of her to flip cartwheels? Because, hear me, Jesus Christ was being talked about outside. Mary came to Elizabeth and said, "I'm with child of the Holy Ghost." And the scripture said that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost while he was in his mother's womb. I'd like to see Dr. Spock give an explanation for that. What happened? What happened? The Holy Spirit, even in a baby, responded to talk about Jesus Christ. So praise God in the midst of it. Praise God in the midst of your infirmity. And then finally, do this. When you've done all this, when you've prayed, when you've asked for healing, when you've used your resources, when you've praised God anyway, you've given thanks to God anyway, wait upon the Lord. Wait on him. The last verse I'll read to you is one you know, Isaiah chapter 40. It's not easy to wait. Our society has so many inventions that make waiting almost obsolete. Everything's fast now. Waiting is seen as an inconvenience to be avoided at all cost. Nobody likes to wait. We don't think we should have to wait. In Isaiah 40, we learn something about waiting on the Lord. Isaiah 40, verse 31, and I believe this applies to many different situations. I believe it can apply to you in a sick bed or you in a time of infirmity. Isaiah 40, 31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall," see the word, "renew their strength." They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Wait on Him, knowing that His timing is best, knowing His way is best. It's not easy to wait. There's something in our nature that rebels against having to wait. I heard a preacher call this the microwave generation. Everything's got to be fast. Everything has to be now. Don't inconvenience us by waiting. And you may have that attitude with earthly affairs, but the truth is you won't ever experience God's greatest blessing until you learn just to wait on Him. He never gets in a hurry, but He's never late. Isn't that something? And when Mary and Martha were waiting for Him there to come, their brother was sick unto death. They called for Him, and He didn't come the first day, and didn't come the second day, and He didn't come the third day, and the fourth day He comes. Their brother had been dead 4 days now. Wouldn't you think that the Lord's a little late? 4 days, He's already in the tomb, and He's dead, and He stinks by now. That's what Martha said about Him. He stinketh already. What do you mean? What do you mean by rolling away the stone? He's 4 days dead, Lord. You're late. He wasn't late. He was right on time. He was just there at just the right moment that would bring Him most glory. And getting most glory in that situation, folks, didn't mean healing Lazarus when he was still sick. Getting the most glory meant raising Lazarus from the dead. Would he have gotten some glory if he had come and healed Lazarus before he died? He would have gotten some from those who were believers. But look at the unbelievers that were there. They could have said, Lazarus was going to get better anyway. He was going to get healed anyway. Just so happens this Jesus came at the right time. But what are you going to do when a man's been dead 4 days? Who are you going to give the glory to when he walks out of the tomb? Who can take the glory for that? Nobody but the Lord. And that's my thought for you tonight, folks. Sometimes God doesn't use medicine and physicians, and sometimes He does, sometimes He don't. Sometimes He'll just wait until the moment He'll get maximum glory out of bringing you through it. He may wait till the fourth watch when He came in the fourth watch, walking on the water, to those men who just knew that the waves were going to be their death. He could have come in the first, second, third watch, but He came in the fourth watch. Now that, I believe with all my heart, is the Bible attitude towards sickness. I don't know of a person in here that hasn't been touched by sickness in some way, whether directly or by a member of your immediate family. I don't know anybody that's exempt from that. But God's there with you in the sickness. He's waiting to see if you'll praise Him anyway. He's waiting to see if you'll call on Him and make use of the greatest resources He's given us, which is His Word, His Spirit, and the blood of Jesus Christ. Will we take advantage of that, or will we just try to get through it ourselves? I can't promise you, folks, if you come here tonight and say a prayer and repeat after me, you're going to walk away healed. I can't promise you that. You might. That's up to the Lord. But I can say this, whether He grants you healing tonight or tomorrow or next week, He's still worthy of all our praise. If you had to live the rest of your life, Brother Ken Roberts and I were talking about this morning, and he said, you know, if you had to live the rest of your life on this earth, or even your entire life on this earth, 70, 80 years, every moment you lived, you had nothing but pain and suffering. You were in just torment all of your life. Wouldn't it still be worth it to be with the Lord Jesus eternally in heaven? Wouldn't it be far better than living a life here without Christ, living a life where you had no suffering, no pain, never sick a day in your life? You just had it good here, but you died and went to hell forever. You see, the Lord's good. We got to be careful not to blame things on the Lord that we brought on ourselves. We look at these things happening in the world and the destruction, the corruption, and the sickness and all that, and remember, it wasn't God's intention. We're going to have a word of prayer here now, and I want to give you an opportunity to respond. I don't know how the Lord may have spoken to your heart tonight. If you're here and you've never trusted Christ the Savior, you've got a sickness that goes much deeper than just your flesh. You're living with a death sentence. Your condition is fatal. It's been diagnosed already. And the only remedy for that is the blood of Christ to save you and cleanse you.